I don't think we've met before, but I'm the referee on this field.
Leinster could offer me $5 million a year, I wouldn't go.
It is Johnny Moe!
Rugby Weekly.
Getting the first pass. And
hello everybody and welcome to the 42 Rugby Weekly on a Friday ahead of another busy weekend in the United Rugby Championship. It's Gavin Casey with you here, and joining us to look ahead to the weekend for all four provinces is the one and only Kieran Kennedy. Kieran, been a couple of weeks. How are you doing?
I'm good, Gav. Nothing major happening here. I take it you're probably getting some Cork Jazz in over the weekend, are you?
Yeah, it was actually a mad dash back from the barbers there on my lunch break to make sure I was in situ for this pod. Then I had a couple of tech troubles. I was thinking, because I'd already made it known that I'm going to be heading out for Jazz, the rumor mill among colleagues would have been swirling. He's already gone out. But thankfully we're here, just about in one piece, a little bit less on the head than I had previously, but looking forward to this chat because there are some big games for all four provinces, I guess, as they tend to be at this stage of the season anyway. I think probably the biggest one, Kieran, because of what's at stake really is Munster in Durban. And Neil Tracy from RT put it to Graham Rowntree earlier in the week that the complexion of three wins and three defeats is so much more rosy coming home off the back of one of those wins than it would be if you leave South Africa empty-handed and you're 2-4 for the season, having run into a few roadblocks and obstacles along the way. So like, that's where it feels important for Munster. It's just like, it's absolutely not a make or break game, but maybe it is a make game if you win it. I'd put it that way. What do you make of them? And just looking at the two teams, where you see that amount of Springbok quality in the Sharks team, to what extent do you feel Munster are up against it here in Durban?
Yeah, they're certainly up against it. I kind of feel like we have this conversation about Munster, you know, every couple of weeks across the course of a season, where things can look like they can maybe start to derail very quickly. But I know they've been so good at kind of putting their backs to the wall and pulling out performances kind of when you least expect it over the last couple of years. But this does look like a really big ask against the Sharks team that, as you say, it's just absolutely packed with Springboks. And they were very impressive against Glasgow last weekend in a really good win for them. And they're just, they can be inconsistent as well. Sorry, that was the point I wanted to make. Like they had a very different team a couple of weeks ago when they went to Benetton in, I think that was round four, but they got absolutely thumped. So, you know, that's kind of been the story of the Sharks as well. Like last season's URC was an absolute disaster for them. Like they finished 14th. They win only, I think, 4 from 18 games. But then they go on that Challenge Cup win and win the competition. And when you look at the 15 that they're putting out against Munster tomorrow, like they are a team that should be competing right at the top end of this league. And if those players can come together and put in a performance, it could be a really ugly and difficult day for Munster. But you just don't know, really know with kind of either team at the moment. The kind of up front is obviously where it looks pretty formidable. Oxenice, Bongi and Benambi and Vincent Cock starting for the Sharks, and Munster are kind of so light. It's a challenge. Another one that really kind of jumped out to me just looking at the Sharks team before we talk a bit about Munster is that Sia Khaleesi starting at 8 is one I kind of wouldn't have seen coming. He started one game for Racing at 8 last season, but before that I think you have to go back to 2020 with the Stormers. So I just wonder, are we going to see a bit more of that this season? Because James Venter is at 6 tomorrow and he's kind of been their guy in that position. He had over 20 starts at 6 last season and he had the jersey all along their road to that Champions Cup success. So maybe see a Khaleesi at 8 is going to be a more familiar sight this year, which would be interesting.
Yeah, it's one of those rare occasions, even from the point of view of an Irish rugby podcast, where the opposition to one of the provinces has arguably a more interesting team just because of the names that are in there. That Khaleesi thing is definitely interesting. You have Jordan Hendricks, who was finding his feet now with the Sharks, starting at 10. He had played a little bit of fullback earlier in the season. Even guys, you know, like the guys that aren't necessarily like headline guys, like Andre Esthazen in the middle, is just an absolute animal of a player. And you're right, against Glasgow, that was a legit win for this Sharks team, because at the start of that game, if people didn't catch it, you know, Glasgow take an early lead. Glasgow looked really good. Like, Glasgow looked like champions, and they played well pretty much for that game. Like, okay, they lose it in the end. They come away, I think, with two bonus points in defeat. But it wasn't as though Glasgow went down to South Africa, felt as though they were up against it, threw their hat at it, and saved themselves for another day. Like, that was a proper proper game of rugby between these two teams. And the fact that the Sharks won it, on the one hand, should be extremely concerning, because from a Munster POV, I mean. On the other hand, as you say, you just don't know if those same Sharks, regardless of personnel, even if it's a stronger team this weekend, are going to pitch up again this time around. The sample size of that happening over the last couple of years is so minuscule that it feels like a bit of a lucky dip with the Sharks, regardless of the side that they name. But if that 23 plays to its potential, it should be putting Munster away. And that's the stark reality of it. I don't think that's even a knock on Munster. I think if that 23 plays to its potential, it should put away most club sides on the planet, to be honest. So tough to make the case for Munster here. In their team, you've got Rory Scandal back for the first time since early June, which I think is actually a plus. I know people might say, like, he's been there for a long time. He's not necessarily a game-changing player at this point of his career. He's 30-odd, whatever. I still feel he actually was missed even last weekend just for his ability to distribute the ball from 12 and do it pretty quickly. I think they kind of looked a little bit stodgy last week with a very makeshift midfield with Sean O'Brien in at 12. He's on the left wing this time around. I'm sort of putting off asking you, like, how do you make the case for Munster in this game? Is it simply that, from an Irish point of view, we have to just hope that the Sharks don't show up, or are there ways in which Munster can actually get at this Sharks team and pull off what would be, I would say in the context, a pretty famous win?
It would be a huge win. And I think if that's going to be the case, you've got to be looking at, there's a couple of key combinations there. So I'd be looking at Jack Crowley and Craig Casey in the halfbacks, and then Jean Klein and Tadhg Byrne in the second row. So they're kind of two very strong international quality pairings. They're the guys you really want to kind of see step up and lead this thing, because Munster, like, as you mentioned, they are so light, and like that pack against the Sharks for me would be a bit of a concern. Like, you see John Ryan is moving from tight head to loose head with the problems they have there. I don't think John Ryan has started a game there since 2015. He played pretty much all of the 2014-15 season actually at loose head before switching back to tight head the following season. But it just shows you where they are in terms of the injury problems they have. A couple of young props on the bench as well in Kieran Ryan and Ron Fox. You'd imagine the guys that are starting are going to be, I wouldn't be surprised we see a few 80-minute shifts in the Munster pack tomorrow. So that's kind of where the problem may kick in, the kind of last quarter when tired legs in South Africa against just a stronger Sharks 23. It's a really difficult task. But I think if Munster go there, you've just got to start strong and kind of hang in it. And obviously, like it's been spoken about enough this week, but fix the line out. You know, that was an absolute car crash last week. So they need to just kind of get your basics right, kind of hang in there, I think, and see if you can dig something out. But I'd be surprised if Munster win it tomorrow now. I think it's a really tough ask at the moment.
It definitely is a tough, tough ask. That's the first game chronologically for the provinces this weekend, isn't it? So we'll move on to Leinster against the Lions next up. Top of the table clash here, because the Lions have been tearing it up. And Robbie Henshaw is back for Leinster, which is probably the headline news out of their team. What do you make of this fixture on paper? Kind of like more fun and maybe arguably more difficult than it would have been at this stage of past seasons, for sure.
Yeah, fun was the word that came to mind when I saw the two team sheets. The Lions, like, they can be, like, obviously you'd be expecting Leinster to win. It's a home game, and they're Leinster. They win most of their games. But the Lions, they're just, they can be dangerous, and I suppose from a neutral point of view, they can just be really entertaining to watch. They scored 67 tries across the regular season in the URC last year, and only the Bulls, Leinster and Glasgow scored more. So, you know, they have a lot of attack and threat in the team. And there's a few players in that team that would kind of stand out. So Morn van den Berg, a scrum half, he became a Springbok over the summer. And then on the wing, you've got Edwin van der Merwe, who was also capped this year, and he kind of stole the show on debut against Wales. He scored this brilliant try where he has absolutely no space in the middle of the field, but somehow just kind of steps and the whole picture opens up for him. And that's kind of just what they can do as a team. They run it from deep. They create moments where there doesn't seem to appear to be anything on. And against this kind of Leinster defence that does offer opportunities, but then has become so effective at scrambling back really well, it on paper just looks like it could be a really entertaining game. Having Henshaw back for Leinster is huge, and it is the kind of headline news in the team, I think. And I think he kind of needed that himself, really, for his own hopes of featuring against New Zealand. The competition in that Ireland midfield, like, is so intense. And Henshaw, I think he's kind of always felt like a player who just needs to get a couple of run of games, and then that's when he hits his best form. There's certain guys in that team you look at and you kind of back them to come in straight away and hit the ground running, but I think Henshaw's one of those players who starts to look really sharp after he's had kind of two or three games on the bounce. So yeah, he's competing for both positions in Ireland midfield as well as the other thing. So I think for him to get in there and get a couple of minutes before an international camp is big. And then even just that he's partnered with Hugh Cooney is interesting. He was excellent for the Ireland under-20s a couple of years ago. And he had some really nice moments in the Emerging Ireland Tour last month as well. I remember in the Western Force game, there was a break from the Ireland 22, which ended in a try. I think Sean Jansen scored in the end. But it was Cooney who was kind of the spark with this really kind of smart break, a bit of footwork, and then Ireland were away. He's a very talented player, Senior Cup winner with Blackrock, a bit of AIL experience with Clontarf a couple of years ago. He was kind of playing a bit more on the wing, but I think he said himself that he kind of sees the centre as his position. So he gets the chance now, and he's doing it in the back line with a lot of talent. You've got James Lowe and Andrew Osborne on the wings, Hugo Keane, the fullback, good halfback pairing too, in Sam Prendergast and Luke McGrath. And even Prendergast is an interesting one because he's been such a focus already across the early part of the season, but so much of that has been down to the Emerging Ireland Tour. We haven't actually seen a huge amount of him in a Leinster jersey, and we actually sat down with him. He was up for Leinster Media earlier this week, so we'll have a piece in the 42 tomorrow, but he just comes across as a very kind of confident and ambitious young player, and he kind of goes into the reasons why he decided against the move to Connacht last year, and he was just really interesting to listen to. So to see him just kind of get another chance to lead the team at 10 before heading off into Ireland camp. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that as well.
Just on the other side of the equation, like, loads of cause for optimism on behalf of the Lions based on the start they've made to the season, 4 wins from 4. But also they're sort of picking up where they left off, and they've improved upon where they left off in that they only narrowly missed out on a place in the playoffs last season. The Ospreys got in there by dint of having won more games, if you remember. That was the tiebreaker in the end. So it's absolutely razor thin. And I guess, without meaning to sound unkind to them, like, the Lions of the South African franchises in this competition are kind of the feeder club. Like, even the fact they lost Jordan Hendricks to the Sharks in the offseason, and he actually sunk them in the Currie Cup final then as well with an absolute monster of a penalty in a hurricane at Ellis Park. It's like, they're doing extremely well to be winning as many games as they have been, say, in the last half season, all told, across these two campaigns. And like, I think everybody would identify the line, or sort of have an idea of the Lions' identity as being this pillar to post, unbelievable team in transition, one of the great entertainers, like, or some of the great entertainers in the comp. But like, they had the best scrum of the competition last year as well. I think they had 28 scrum penalties to only 3 lost, or something along those lines. Their line out is bang on. So they've added like really solid fundamentals that underpin the excitement with which we associate them. I don't know that that's going to be enough to properly stress Leinster in Dublin. We'll find out. But it's just, as we said at the top, a very different looking fixture now facing the Lions than it used to be. That being said, I'd imagine you fancy Leinster to get a home win here. And perhaps the carrot being dangled in front of them is to max out on bonus points, to go 6 from 6 in this opening block, which would be a serious statement. Far more so, I think, in 2024 than it would have been in past iterations of the competition.
Yeah, that'll be the aim. And just in light of what you're saying there with the Lions, like, I think there's going to be a lot of teams who are going to come up against Leinster in the URC this season and kind of be looking at damage limitation. But I think a team like the Lions, who have so many players with so much potential, like, a lot of that squad is kind of just on the cusp, it feels. Like, even another player I wanted to mention is someone named JC Pretorius, like, Foreman 7's player, comes in, he's absolutely excellent last season. Every time he gets a run of form, he kind of gets billed as the next Quagga Smith in South Africa, and they kind of have a lot of players who are the next something, you know. But I think they're a team that'll come to Dublin and think that they can actually fire a few shots and get at this Leinster team. The flip side of that being that, you know, Jack Nienaber will definitely have talked up the threats of this Lions team, and it won't be a game that Leinster will take lightly. It's got the potential, I think, to be a little bit of a shootout. I think we could see a high scoring game, but I would definitely fancy Leinster to get the win when you look at the amount of kind of international talents they've kept in that team alongside some of the young guys coming through. And even just the second row, like, you've got Ryan Baird coming back in for the first time this season. I can't wait to see how that partnership works with Orji's name. And there's a lot to like about this Leinster team, as there so often is. And it just feels like everything is going really well for Leinster at the moment. There's certain seasons where you kind of, Leinster are racking up big scores, they're getting the wins, and you're kind of wondering, what's this all going to look like when it gets to the business end of the season? But this year, it all just feels like it's coming together very quickly for them. The defence is looking excellent. The attack has been really, really sharp at times. Players have come in and hit the ground running. The internationals have come straight back in after the summer and look sharp already. It feels like everything's just going absolutely ideally for them, and I would not be surprised to see another bonus point win.
Just briefly on Leinster before we park them, Kieran, like, it does feel as though, to be fair now, I have not looked back over this. It's just something that sprung to mind there. So it's anecdotal, but it feels as though they're selecting slightly more consistent teams or 23s. Like, it's, there's enough of an overlap week on week where I think a lot of the combinations remain, and maybe there is that sense of fluidity and cohesion, that, you know, that famous word at this point, that maybe you lose or they have lost in past campaigns where you just tearing it up and going again with a load of young lads the following weekend. There just seems to be a bit more continuity maybe with the selection, off the top of my head at least, that may be lending itself towards what you're saying there.
I think they're doing a really good job of just getting the balance right. So even say Prendergast starts at 10 this week, but he's got Luke McGrath, really experienced scrum half, beside him. Andrew Osborne is on the wing, but the back three then is Hugo Keenan and James Lowe, two like senior Ireland internationals. Hugh Cooney, who we already spoke about, coming in to play at centre, but he's got Robbie Henshaw beside him. They've just struck that balance well, I think, across the opening rounds of the URC. Nobody's kind of... It just means that players that aren't coming in and kind of feeling thrown in at the deep end. Like, you think back to some of the trips maybe they've had to South Africa towards, you know, the latter ends of the season over the last couple of years, where they've made those wholesale changes. They've kept the internationals at home, and young Leinster teams have had really difficult experiences. They haven't really put any players in that kind of position yet. There's always been a fairly strong, settled core to the Leinster team week in, week out, even though they have the, you know, the resources to kind of change internationals in and out. And like, there's no Joe McCarthy or James Ryan this week, but Ryan Baird comes into the second row, you know, it's not a massive dip off there. So I think they've just done a good job of getting that balance right and keeping some kind of consistency there week on week, and with that they've been able to kind of bring a few fresher faces in and just mix things up, keeps things fresh, but also just have that kind of core there week on week.
Ulster and Connacht are both in action at the same time, 7:35 on Saturday evening, which is a bit of a balls from the point of view of an Irish rugby fan, but I would say that Cardiff Ulster game will, well, you look, on paper it's probably the better game, so I want to start there. Ian Henderson is back in. They've got five players in their starting 15 who are in Ireland's November squad. Jacob Stockdale is getting a rest, having started all five of their games so far in the URC this season. I think that leaves Aidan Morgan as the only player actually of their entire squad who's featured in every game, or at least started in every game. It's probably that. What do you make of this challenge ahead of them? And I guess, would it be fair to say that maybe similarly to what I was saying about Munster, I don't know if there's the same urgency to win this game, but like, to finish this block with a victory, having sort of come out the other side of South Africa and built a bit of momentum on this side of it, could actually be like it makes it a very important game, I guess. Just having that sense of momentum when you come back in and having a feel-good factor around the place, which clearly they've been doing a good job of establishing.
Yeah, when you think back to the start of the season and you're kind of wondering how the first block of games is going to unfold, I was a little bit wary about Munster. I thought about Ulster. I thought there was a lot of potential there. I think Richie Murphy's a really, really good coach. But just when you consider how young the squad was, how challenging, you know, so much of last year was, the fact that they had injuries, the fact that they were losing so many players to the Emerging Ireland Tour, I thought that it could be a kind of tricky start to the year for them. But I think now if you go to Cardiff and you win this game, then you're looking at a really promising start to the season. Okay, they had those two defeats in South Africa, but I don't know, at least that's kind of out of the way. And it came at a time when they did have a lot of injuries and Emerging Ireland was impacting them at the time. But otherwise, you go now this weekend and you beat Cardiff and you're 4 from 6 and you've won your last three on the bounce with a young squad. And I think everyone goes into that international break feeling good about themselves. And I think it's a game that Ulster should really be winning when you look at the team they're putting out there. Like, Cardiff absolutely collapsed in the second half against Edinburgh last week. They were 5-3 up at halftime. Not a good game. And then they go and concede 4 second half tries and lose 27-8. just an implosion, really. And they kind of have that in them. Like, they conceded 8 tries at home to Glasgow earlier in the season as well. So they're a team that will offer up opportunities, and Ulster have a team that have, you know, the potential to kind of take advantage of that, I think. I think if Ulster didn't win this one, they'll be disappointed. I think they will win it, and I think they'll feel pretty happy with how the first block of the season's gone for them.
It's weird, Ricard, if you looked at the table in isolation, they're kind of mid-table, I think they're 9th, and you're like, okay, that's sort of vintage Cardiff for the time being. And you're not then sure as to what you can expect from them going into their backyard. But like, just going back to last season, like, I'm going back as far as April here, but like, just the succession of home losses they've had. Like, it seems like they're not comfortable playing there for whatever reason. Edinburgh again doing a number on them back in April. Then you had the Ospreys pipping them in June, which was the last regular season game. And since then, as you mentioned, Glasgow put 52 on them at Cardiff Arms Park. And Scarlets beat them most recently in the same ground. That was the 12th of October. Because I guess it just feels like, from Ulster's point of view, you're going to have absolutely zero to fear of Cardiff irrespective, but you actually might be bolstered by the fact that their home record is just not good at the moment. As in, you can probably show up there, and if you make a good start, and say if you can manage to build a 2-score lead, I don't want to get ahead of myself, but this could be the kind of game which becomes routine very quickly, to be honest.
Yeah, could do. And that's it, like, Cardiff's record, it's not good at home. So if you can kind of get ahead of them, it just puts that in their head straight away, of that almost kind of, here we go again. And like the URC, it's become such a competitive league. There's not too many games, I think, where you go away from home and can really target, like, look, we can go and win this. I think you're always going to be expecting a bit of a battle. But I think this is an away game that Ulster will look at and say, this is when we should be winning. And I think that's reflected in the selection and the fact that they've so many of the internationals in there. I think they'll get the job done this weekend.
Yeah, there was a home win for Cardiff in there, I should have added, but it was a very narrow win over Zebre earlier this season. So I don't know what you can really glean from that. Connacht then at home to the Dragons. This is a must-win game because you just don't get too many opportunities like this to go and do a job on a side. And they've brought in Caelan Blade and Jack Carty, so a bit more of a traditional-looking halfback partnership. A really interesting midfield with Bundy Aki and Cottle Ford at 12 and 13, respectively, as well. Matthew Devine is on the bench. Ben Murphy gets a rest, I guess. He's not injured, is he? If he is, I missed that. I think it's probably... Yeah, I think it's just a rest. So you've got probably a Connacht team that in some ways resembles something closer to the team of last season. Is this a kind of a case of just getting in there, getting the job done? Like, do you foresee any potential bananas getting in the shape of the Dragons?
No, it's kind of like the Ulster one. It's definitely a game they should be winning. And I think you win it and everything feels kind of okay in Connacht. Like, the problem with Connacht at the moment is the amount of points they concede. So like 35 away to Munster on the opening weekend, 30 then against the Sharks, 23 at Scarlets, 32 at Ulster and 33 again last weekend against Leinster. Like, they've just got to be a bit meaner in defence against the Dragons, and they are a better team than the Dragons. Like, the Dragons, their only win at home was at home to the Ospreys, I think, on the opening weekend. So like, I think Connacht will score tries against this Dragons defence, and I think any shape really of kind of cohesive Connacht performance should be enough to get the job done. Because I mean, like, it's been a tricky enough start to the season for Connacht, and they've played lots of good rugby in between all that, but I think you lose at home to the Dragons and it really sucks the life out of things before the international break. But if you win this one with a couple of points to spare, get your bonus point, I think Connacht will feel fairly happy with how that first block of games has gone for them, and particularly given the fact that they've had a few tricky fixtures in there along the way. It's a reasonably settled Connacht team. There's a lot of experience in it. I'd be very surprised if they slipped up here.
Yeah, I think everyone would be. Before I let you go, Kieran, a massive recruitment on the women's side of the Irish game with Lynn Cantwell coming over from South Africa to take over as head of strategy for the women's game here. And I mean, like, it's actually rare that you'd see somebody poached, I guess, by one union and for the union from which they're departing to sing their praises to the extent that South Africa rugby did of Lynn Cantwell. She clearly made a serious impact down there, and even speaking to a few people like here and there during her tenure, like, they really did speak glowingly of her. On the pitch, it feels like things are moving in the right direction for this Ireland setup. Off the pitch now, it very much feels that way as well when you're luring that kind of a candidate back. and putting her in such an integral role within this system.
Yeah, it is. It's a statement appointment, and I think even just the timing of it feels good. It's a nice boost again for the women's game here after what has been an excellent few months from that Australia game in Belfast through a really impressive WXV1 campaign. This just kind of adds a bit of momentum again and adds to the feeling that what we've seen over the last while is not just some kind of lift that comes with, you know, a new coaching setup coming in and a new performance director overseeing things at the IRFU, but that this is actually part of a long-term plan and a vision, which is what was felt was missing for so long. So it's very exciting. And like you say, South Africa Rugby are clearly disappointed to be losing her, and everything you heard about what Lynn Cantwell did during her time there was really positive. And it must be very exciting and energising for this Ireland team as well. Like when you think of this appointment and take it into consideration alongside what has already been a really positive spell, I'd imagine those players will be absolutely bouncing into next international camp, which perhaps has not always been the case over the years. So yeah, I think a year out from a World Cup, it just feels like things are in a really good place there.
Yeah, she's just another piece of the puzzle that brings a lot of gravitas to it. I think she's a board member with Sport Ireland. At least she was. I think she still is. And just even being your country's record caps holder, her name means something. And she's clearly, obviously, very good at what she does as well, aside from all of that. It's just good to have somebody going to bat for you with that sort of status within Irish sport, above all else. I suppose we can park it there, Ciarán, and I'll let you get on with your non-jazz weekend, but I'm sure it'll be a good one regardless.
No worries, Gav. Thanks for that. Enjoy your jazz. I look forward to hearing the review next week.
Thanks a million. Thanks to everyone at home as well. We'll be back on Monday for subscribers looking back over the province's games. You can sign up there at the 42.e/extra and join Murray Kinsella, Bernard Jackman and myself on Monday. It's James Tracy back as well on Wednesday. So until then, if you're a subscriber, and until this stage next week, if not, mind yourselves. Have a great weekend. Talking about the boys in the better land. The boys in the better land.